In today's Mishnah, we're in the fifth and sixth Mishnah from the 13th Perek Masechta Zvachim. The Mishnah begins, Hamakriv Kadashim Ve'imurim Bachutz Chayav. So if someone offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, he is taking the sacrificial parts, and combined with that, he's also burnt meat from Korbanot, but the meat that is normally consumed, say from, for example, the meat from a Chatat, as opposed to the meat that's offered on the Mizbeach, which would be from an Olah. So in that situation, the Mishnah needs to tell us that he would have violated the prohibition, would be Chayav. This prohibition of offering the sacrificial parts outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, why is that not obvious? Well, it isn't obvious because since it's burnt along with other meat that one would not be liable for offering outside the Beit HaMikdash, one might think that it would act as a separation between the sacrificial parts and the fire, and therefore he wouldn't be liable to the prohibition. However, importantly, Mishnah tells us, no, he would still be liable since it's what's called min b'mino. We're talking about meats or parts of the animal together that are of the same type. It doesn't act as a separation. And therefore one would be liable for offering these sacrificial parts outside the Beit HaMikdash, or outside the Azara. Mishnah continues, Mincha shelo nikmetza, if we're dealing with a mincha offering, this comes from flour, or sometimes barley, and the kohen did not perform kmitza yet, he didn't take take the three fingerfuls out to be offered on the Mizbeach. Instead, this individual took the entire mincha offering, v'ikriva v'chutz, and offered it outside. In that situation, patur, he would not be violating this prohibition. Why? That is because it cannot be offered in that state inside the Beis HaMikdash prior to Kmitza. Therefore, outside, well, he hasn't violated the prohibition. Kamtza, however, if the kohen did perform Kmitza, the chazar kumtza latocha, and then placed it back with whatever was remaining, the kriva b'chutz, and offered the entire mixture together outside, in that case, Mishnah says he would be chayav, is liable to the prohibition. Why? That is because if bidyeved, if the kohen didn't ask him to say, took the mixture and offered it on the Mizbeach, the mixture of the Kometz and the remaining of the Mincha, it would still be kosher, it would be valid. And therefore, since it's kosher inside, again, if it happened outside, then in that situation the prohibition has been violated or transgressed. This is now Mishnah Vav. HaKometz v'halavona. When it comes to a Mincha offering, we've mentioned the Kmitza, that's the three fingers full of the pinch that's been removed and offered on the Mizbeach. And also the levona is a frankincense that comes along with this mincha nedava, this voluntary mincha offering. The two of those need to be offered in order to what's called matir, or allow the remainder to be consumed by the kohanim. So it's important to understand that both these things act as a matir, as that which permits the remainder. So Mishnah says, shekriv et echad mehen bachutz, if you offered only one of these outside, then he'd be chayev, he'd still violated the prohibition. However, Rabbi Elazar, consistent with his opinion in the second Mishnah we learned yesterday, says, Patur, absolutely, he'd still be exempt. Ad she'akriva tasheni, until the entire, both parts, both the Kometz and the Lavona, have been offered. As we learned in yesterday's Mishnah, the Rabbi Elazar has the opinion that if something has to be offered in entirety, then the prohibition is not violated until the entire matter has been offered. Whereas, as we remember yesterday, Chachamim said, even though even a kazayit's worth would be sufficient for one to violate the prohibition. Let's continue. Shnei bezich kei levona. These are the two spoons of frankincense that were along with the lechem apan, the showbread that was on the shulchan in the Kodesh. And that was burnt. They acted as the matir to allow the bread to be consumed by the kohanim. So once again, we have a similar case. Mishnah says, according to the first opinion, Chachamim, shekriv et echad mehem bachutz, if offered one of these spoons of levona outside, then it'd be chayev. He would be liable. Was Rav Elazar says no. So we've got the two together act as this matir. So patur ad she'akriva tasheni, both would have to be offered. If that wasn't the case, he'd be exempt. Echad bifnim v'echad bechutz. If, however, one was offered first inside and then the second one offered outside, in that situation, since this second spoon completes the matir, everyone would agree that they had violated the prohibition. Next, hazorik miktsat damim bechutz. Here referring to some of the blood that has to be from a korban. Now, there are two types of korbanot. As you know, those korbanot offered outside on the Mizbeach, mean the blood either on the top or the bottom half of the Mizbeach, as we've been learning throughout this Masechta. And also there's chatot penimiot. There's those that the blood is taken inside the heichal, also sometimes called the kodashim, and sprinkled there either in front of the parochet on the Mizbeach Zahav, sometimes even inside the kodash kodashim. So if someone took one of those bloods, and meaning instead of doing all the required sprinklings, just sprinkled once outside, the Mishnah says he would be chayev, he would be liable, even according to the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. Why is that? That is because if you remember, when it comes to the korbanot offered outside, meaning not outside the Beis HaMikdash, but in the temple courtyard, those ones, as long as blood reach the Mizbeach once, well, that would be sufficient. So consequently, since that's sufficient on its own bidyeved, therefore, if one did one sprinkling outside from this korbanot, even Reb Eliezer would agree. What about the chatot pnimiot, those bloods that has to be sprinkled inside the kodesh? And there we said they're all required. They all have to be offered. And matana echan makevet, even if you miss one, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. Reb Eliezer Elazar would still agree in that case. Why? Because he maintains that each of those placements of blood, its sprinklings, is an independent mitzvah on its own. And that's why, if, for example, if the blood spills, you could simply, according to his opinion, slaughter the bull, collect the blood, and continue from where you left off. And therefore, since each is an independent mitzvah, that's why if you perform one of those sprinklings or one of those placements out of the place of Mikdash, one would be liable for violating this prohibition. Rabbi Elazar says, Afa menasech mechag bechag bachutz chayav. So, contra Balaza, the prohibition of offering a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash even applies to the water libations that were performed during Sukkot, as we learned back in Masechta Sukkah. Reb Nechemiah says, "Sheyarei hadam shikrivam b'chutz chayev." If you remember, when the korban, of all these korban that we've learned about, once the blood was placed in the Mizbeach, the remaining blood was poured down by the base. So Reb Nechemiah says, the remaining blood is referred to the shirayim. He says, when we're discussing those chatot penimiot, the blood that's offered from the korbanot that are offered inside the heichal, the remaining blood for those korbanot is me'akev, is a critical part of the process. If you forget to do that, you have not fulfilled the obligation. So, for these chatot penimiot, if one takes the remainder and pours it outside, on his be'ach outside the Beis HaMikdash, since it's a critical process, then he will have violated the prohibition of offering a korban outside the Beit HaMikdash, and which is again punishable with karet. Kati Yisa says at the end that the halach is actually not like Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Nechemiah, so it wouldn't apply to water elevations or the shirayim. Those are the Mishnah today.